But we were, according to my note here, on page 91 in the Shara Bitochen, the Chovis HaLevavos, and the Art Scroll edition. So we spoke about we started to speak about the interplay between the Sibois, the things that we do, which are the alleged or apparent causes of the results, and the reality of the fact that Hashem orchestrates everything. So he goes on, he continues, says, when we look and analyze the need for a person to do sibas, to do things, to bring things about, and to like to roll from one thing to another to complete his responsibilities, his issues that he's dealing with. And we see it the way it appears to the eye. When it's put in front of him, the food as appropriate, it seems to the naked eye, the way it's apparent, is when food is put in front of a person. Mamish goes to a very extreme example. Food is put in front of a person, and the amount, the proper diet, the proper amount that you need, but I'm not going to put the effort to eat it, to lift it up, to bring it into my mouth, and to chew it, and to digest it. His hunger will never be broken. In other words, nothing's going to happen. The food is going to sit right in front of you, and there is no other way to satisfy your hunger except to take that food that's in front of you, put it in your mouth, cut it, put it in your mouth, whatever, and chew it, and swallow it, and so forth. So too a person who's thirsty and he needs water. And certainly, if he doesn't have the food in front of him, until he goes from one thing to another to prepare it, to harvest it, and to knead it, and to bake it, and comparable to that, otherwise, he ain't gonna have what to eat. That's the way the world looks. That's the apparent world. This is what's so confusing about the world. Because in our world, in fact, if I don't bake the bread, I won't have the bread unless I go buy it. If the food is sitting in front of me, I don't take it my spoon and put it in my mouth and chew it and swallow it, and then it's just not gonna happen. That's the way it appears to us. And more, if I have to go out and buy it, and to prepare it, and to make it, all these things that must be done, otherwise I won't have what to eat. What if I don't have any money? If I don't have the money to buy the food, then I'm going to go hungry. That's just the way it is. You don't have money, you go hungry. Got to do even more. I got to go first, go out and make the money. Then I got to, with the money, got to go buy the raw materials. Then I got to go bake it, this and that and the other thing. I have to go out to earn money. Or if I have no money and I can't go out and make money, I have to sell my possessions. That sometimes if you have no money, you have to sell your possessions. So all of these things are necessities in our thinking process for having what to eat, having the basics that we need. He says the reason that the Hashem has made it this way, that we have to go out and do this effort, has two reasons to it. Now, it sounds from the tone of what he's saying, even before we begin to see what he says specifically, There are two reasons that he's going to give why Hashem has made it this way. But what he's really seems to be saying is, it's not this way. This is just what we have to do. But this has nothing to do with the reality of having what to eat. In fact, it's a famous Gemara where a goy, I forget the names, but that's what I do. I forget a lot. I always forgot a lot, even more now. Some goy comes to one of the Tanoim or Amoroim and says to him, if your God loves you so much, so he loves your people so much, why does he make poor people? Why doesn't he take care of the poor people? So he says, "This he doesn't need me to take care of the poor people. He gives me the privilege to take care of the poor people. It's a mitzvah to benefit me." A chazal say, "Godel mimasha balabayis oisel oni oni oisel balabayis." More than what the donor, the balabayis, who gives money to the oni, does for the oni, is what the oni, the poor person, is doing for the balabayis. Because I'm being mezakeh the person with a mitzvah. So everything is all for the purpose. Hashem doesn't need us, doesn't need agents. He doesn't even need us to harvest. He doesn't even need us to knead and to bake and to cook and to doesn't even need us to take the food and put it in our mouths. In the Midbar, I don't know if he fed them. I mean, if he put it in their mouths, but he brought it to their doorstep. You know, that's the example of what Parnos is all about. Well, on the doorstep, they woke up every morning and exactly what they need. So he doesn't need us to do anything, but he created the world. And this, of course, is after the Chet of Adam HaRishon. When Adam HaRishon was on a higher level, we didn't need Hishtadlus. He didn't need Hishtadlus. We wouldn't have needed Hishtadlus because we're on such a high spiritual level that there's no need to do anything. But now, after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, and it's not a punishment that we're getting so much as a diminution. We're now reduced to a much lower level human being. Yodom Rishon was like godly in his, not only in his potential, but in his actual. The Malochim thought they wanted to say Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh to him. So now that we've been reduced, so we need Ishtadlus for various reasons, but not at all, because otherwise we won't have what to eat. Not at all, because otherwise we won't have money. Not at all, because we need to do in order to have. Hashem provides. In fact, it's a very beautiful lesson. I may have mentioned it here, but I always apologize. I talk about the same topic in so many different formats and groups that I forget where I said what. But there's a very, very beautiful thing that my father-in-law used to say. Rashi brings, I think it's in Baal Oischo, that the Klal Yisrael took a jar at Tzintzenes Hamon, and they put mun in it, and they carried with it through the Midbar, I mean the Midbar they had, and into Eretz Yisrael. And they put it next to the Oren, in the Oren, and in the times of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, when there was some type of Israshlus in their learning, they weren't engaged in learning to the extent that they should have been, so Yirmiyahu HaNavi took out the Tzintzenes Hamon and said, "Bozen nisparnesu aviseichem b'midbar aboim shono." With this mun is how your ancestors lived for 40 years in the Midbar. Then they were able to learn. They had money. You have to do the same thing. So my father-in-law asked the question. He says, if I was there, I would have said to Yirmiyah, "Rabbeinu, give us money and we'll also sit and learn all the time. You know, I got to go to work. It's not the same thing. We have to farm." They were farmers. They had Eretz Yisrael. They had what do you tell me? They sat and learned with the mon. They didn't have to do anything else other than open the door and take it into the house. So he says, you see from here that the message of the mon was really the essence of everything that we have. That really Hashem provides. We really shouldn't have to do anything. And by looking at the tzitzenes, someone say, hey, listen, everything comes from Hashem. Your bread that you cook, that you plant, and that you harvest, and that you knead, and that you bake, and that whatever you do in that, that's really all from Hashem. In fact, it's very interesting. What bracha do we say on bread? Hamitzi lechem min ha'oretz. Who does all the procedures? Somebody does it. A farmer does it. A miller does it. A baker does it. A lady in the bakery does it. You know, everybody. It's, no, Hashem, we look at the reality is Hashem is the Moitzi Lechem in Oretz. He's the one who takes out the bread from the earth. But it's not true. First of all, it doesn't grow on the earth. And second of all, there's 10 people in the middle of the process. No, he's really doing it all. These people are literally going through the motions. Why did Hashem make us go through the motions? That's something else that we have to learn. And that's for our benefit, a side benefit, that since we're not on that highest spiritual level, there are certain dangers if we're not going to do it. Now, the truth of the matter is, just to point out, the Gemara says that by Mon, if a person had sinned, he would not have it at his doorstep. He'd have to go further out. And if he sinned, there's three psukim that they were thousands. And if he really sinned the day before, he'd have to go way out. And by the way, that's the way my father-in-law explained the pasuk. It says, "Vayancho vayarivecho vayachilcho es hamon." He hungered you and he gave you mon. So if he gave you mon, how did he hunger you? So he says, if the big tzaddik sinned the day before and the mon didn't come to his doorstep, do you think he's going to go out collecting with all these other people? He's going to fast. That's why Yancho, he made you fast, he made you hungry, and he gave you the mon. Because if the mon didn't come to your doorstep, and you were such a tzaddik, you weren't going to go embarrass yourself to go out collecting with everybody else. So that day you didn't have what to eat. Anyway, I don't know if that's serious or not, but anyway, that's what he said. But kids like this. So the Shechemes Lavov is going to give us two reasons why we need Hishtadlus, neither of which is because otherwise we won't have what to eat. Now that's, I keep emphasizing it and saying it again and again. The Mon teaches us that we'll have what to eat without Hishtadlus if we have the ultimate connection to Hashem. But it's when we're lacking the Bitochen, when we're lacking the Dveikus, when we're not on the level of Odom Harishon Kodem Achet, or on the Dor Deo in the Midbar, at least those that didn't sin that day. So we have to do Hishtadlus, and now he's going to analyze what the reason is. Just one more point, as long as we're talking about it. Chazal tell us that the brocha that we say, Hazones HaKoil, Hazones HaKoilim Kula B'tufa, that brocha was the brocha that Moshe Rabbeinu made the nusach for on the mon. That's the brocha achroina that they said after the mon. So it's very interesting. The same brocha that they made after they ate the mon is the brocha we made after we eat the bread, because it's really all the same thing. Bread is really mon in disguise, just like teva is really Hashem hiding behind it in disguise. And this is the way we have to look at the world. So if that's the way we have to look at the world, then the kasha becomes compelling. Why do we have to work? Of course, we're not on that level. That's why. But what does the working do? What's it all about? So he, I think, is going to explain. He says two reasons. Echod mehem. One. Mipnei shechiva hachochmo b'chinas hanefesh. That the chokhmah of understanding the nefesh of a person in his service of Hashem and his need sometimes to rebel against Hashem, understood, bochan oiso b'mashe mareze mimeno, tested in what this shows, v'hu hatzorech v'achisoren el mashehu chutzlo. The need and the lack of what is out of it, what he doesn't have, all the necessities, the things of life, and he commanded us to bring them about these needs. He says, really, that which Hashem has decreed is going to happen. And we only have, Hashem made it that we have to participate in the process. I think what he means here, the language is a little bit confusing. I think what he means to say is as follows. That in the hishtadlus that we do, there are many mitzvahs, because a person does things in food. Let's say they're in Eretz Yisrael. There's trumas and maestros and challah and there's other halachas of that to do with the tluya ba'aris. When we eat, we have to make brochas. We have halachas of how and when we can cook and how to cook and kashrus and everything. And all of these things, so Hashem made it that when we indulge in achieving the needs that we have in life, we are surrounded with mitzvahs. And basically, the way I think he doesn't really say it out, and I have trouble really seeing it clearly in the words. But I think that the idea is that it's like it rejuvenates our spiritual awareness. In other words, that yes, I'm doing yishtadlus, and yes, there's really no need to do any of that because Hashem can provide. But what he did is he gave me the opportunity to connect with him in the life mishnah. For example, I say I go to work. I have a job. I have to conduct myself with integrity. I have to be honest. I have to put in the appropriate amount of time. I have to take the money that I make, and I have to give the proper amount of tzedakah. I have to all the this halachas and everything we do. The whole Shulchan Aruch talks about how we live our lives in a natural way. That's what Orach Chaim does. That's what so much of Yeridea does. I'm cooking in the kitchen. There's halachas, there's milchiks and fleishiks, and it's hot and it's cold and it's bottle and it's a infinite halacha. So all of the hishtadlus that we do, I have to borrow money. I have to know whether I'm allowed to borrow beribis or lend beribis, if it's a Jew, if it's a goy, if it's a heterisker, if it's a halachas in everything we do. So the halachas, what Hashem really does is he connects us with him in the efforts that we put in. If we didn't put those efforts in, I would even say, I don't know. And again, I'm very apologetic because I don't know exactly if this is what he means and exactly how he's saying it. But let's say, for example, that he gives it to me. Let's say we get mon at our doorstep. I would imagine that after a certain point, if we weren't on the highest spiritual level, we'd start taking it for granted. And we wouldn't look at it as such a gift from Hashem. But the truth of the matter is, I can prove it. Because look at the gifts he does give us, and look how we take it for granted, right? Are we excited when we jump up and say Moide Ani in the morning? Are we excited when we make the Brocha Sheyotzar for going to the bathroom? Are we excited when we say the Birchas HaShachar that I'm able to sit up, I'm able to stand up, I'm able to walk, I have clothing to wear, my eyes are open, I'm not blind? We take it for granted. You know, this is part of life. I made these brochas already hundreds and thousands, who knows how many times. And so, however, Hashem, when we have to be mishtadl, so I imagine if things would come so easy, then we'd also start to take it for granted and forget about Hashem. But when I have to do the ishtadlus, and there's a mitzvah taking challah, I'm baking a bread, I have to take challah. If it's Eretz Yisrael, that's Trumas HaMaisras, challah too. I have to make a brocha. If it's after Pesach, it's Chometz Shaol Pesach. I can't use this, I have to use that. Everything is with halachas. And those halachas are all opportunities to constantly remember. Now, of course, you could ask me, that'd be a good kasha. We get used to the halachas too. So we don't think about the fact that we're serving Hashem and that everything is Hashem, part of his master plan to elevate us, because we get used to that. But there's so many of them that the truth is we spend our lives, we're very, very, you know, they tell a story about a frum person was sitting on a plane next to a goy, and he was putting on his shoes. He put on the right shoe, then he put on the left shoe, then he tied the left one first, then he tied the right one first, and then he took it off, he did it the other way, took it back. The guy was seeing something's going on over here. So he says, what is that? What are you doing? And the story goes that this guy was a little bit embarrassed. So he's going to go tell the goy, well, when we put on our shoes, we have to put the right one first, then we put the left one first, and then we tie the left one first, because that's we tie the tefillin on the left hand, and then we tie the right. And the funny tells him, and the goy says, wow, you have such a religion that tells you, gives you responsibilities and merit, whatever it is, in every minute, mundane detail in life. That's something so beautiful. And we're really doing that. Sometimes we forget it, we take it for granted. But anyway, that's one. So one is there are benefits in the hishtadlus. But then he says another benefit, which is a bit even more surprising. He says, "V'im hu magbir avodas elokim ubocher b'raso." No, I'm sorry. He didn't say that yet. No, he didn't say it yet. He says it. Where did I miss something? Oh, Vahasheni, I'm sorry. My page went by. Okay, Vahasheni ki ilo lo hutzrach ha'odom l'torach l'chazer l'sabim l'avos tarpoi. If a person wouldn't have to work to bring to make parnosa, to bring in his needs, or you buy it, v'roidif achar averus, he would just rebel against Hashem and run after averus. V'lo hoya mashkiach al mashu chayibu al tovas olikim olof. He wouldn't pay attention to what he owes Hashem. They won't pay attention to Hashem. That Yeshurun got fat, and then they rebelled. In other words, it seems that if everything would come easy and we wouldn't have to work for it, then we wouldn't appreciate anything. I eat and I get satiated or heavy, and then I rebel against Hashem. Forget Hashem, because I have everything. It's all I do it, and I'm full of this. So and I think he says, He says, Talmud Torah derech eretz. It's important to learn and also to be able to work to make a living, because when you do both, you won't come to sin. And the second one he says also, Kol Torah sheinim malocha. If you have Torah and there's no malocha, that also leads a person to sin. Kol shekein mishal achid v'achrid. If he has nothing, he says, he will not pay attention to what's right and end up doing what's wrong. It seems that there's another thing that he's saying. He seems to be saying also that he says, you know, if we didn't have the responsibilities that we have, then we'd be indulging. We wouldn't have any responsibilities, and we'd end up doing all kinds of inappropriate things. You know, it's almost if you work hard, you don't have time to sin. You know, who has time to sin? I put in these long days, then I got this responsibility, that responsibility. I come home, I also have responsibilities. There's no time to sin. So it's now, if we were on the level of Adam Rishon and in such close proximity to Hashem, or if as we, because the Chovis Halvavos is talking, we know Rabbi Yisrael Salanter taught us, for the lower level of Bitochen, we're mechuyev in Ishtabos. On a higher level of Bitochen, there's supposed to be a Bitochen where you don't even have to do Ishtabos. If we were on that level of Bitochen, then we wouldn't need this Ishtadlus, because I wouldn't forget Hashem. Because even if I have nothing to do all day long, I'm so connected to Hashem that I'd be learning, I'd be connected, I'd be Dovuk Hashem. But we're not on that level. And he's certainly not addressing the people that are on that level. He talks very extensively about Ishtadlus. So when we're not on that level, we need the Ishtadlus, number one, to constantly give us opportunities to remember Hashem and to connect with Hashem. And number two, we need the Hishtadlus, because the Hishtadlus keeps us busy. Otherwise, we would. That's why he says, Yofet Talmud Torah Derechez Shigi Hashem. The effort you put into both is Mashkach HaSov, and you'll forget to sin. You wouldn't have time to sin. And Kol Torah She'eni Melocha, Seifu B'Teilu Gros, if Torah without Melocha, if you don't have what to do, then at the end it's going to be bottle, and it'll cause you to sin. Because I'm a lady gayer. I have nothing to do. I have to sit around all day long. When we sit around, batola, Chazal say batola meviyadei shiamum. It brings to a certain decadence in a person when he just has nothing to do. So that's the other benefit. If we were on the highest level of bitochen, we wouldn't need that. But on the lower levels where we find ourselves at best, so therefore we need this type of hishtadlus. I'd just like to, before we close, I'd like to mention something which is very, I think it's very interesting to me. It's very meaningful. It's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Yofet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, Shigi Hashnei Mashkach HaSovrim. So the Rabbeinu Simcha, the Machzav Itri, says that it's talking about studying the laws of Gzela, the laws about stealing, or not stealing. He says, if you learn Hilchus Gzeila and you have a job to work, the effort put in both will forget, you'll forget sin, you won't come to steal. Fine. That's what he says. But I have a question. What's the Loshon Mashkachas Ovein? It will cause sin to be forgotten. What do you mean forgotten? He won't come to sin. Listen, I learned Hilchus Gzeilas. I know how terrible it is. I have a parnosa, so I'm not so tempted. I have basically my needs, so I won't sin. What is it? Mashkachas of it. It becomes forgotten. The sin is forgotten. What's that Loshon? So I want to suggest, and I believe that that's the pshat, that Mashkachas Oven refers to the following. The power of learning Hilchus Gzeila makes Gzeila beyond the pale of possibility in my life. The power of studying Torah, when a person studies a parasha in the Torah, then it's not just that it was very interesting and now I know how to observe it and it's important and I'll be a little more motivated. If a person learns it seriously, then it's almost like the possibility of violating that Torah that I learned is like it's forgotten. It doesn't exist in my realm. It doesn't exist in my world because I studied Hilchus Gzeila. How could I steal? How could I steal? I studied Hilchus Gzeila. Now, if he didn't have a parnosa, so it might not be Mishkachas. He might think, he might forget for a moment and start, hey, you know, I don't have any money. Maybe I should a little bit. The guy's very wealthy. He wouldn't know the difference, you know, rationalizations like this, a little cheating, a little that. But if he has his parnosa, so there's no outside motivation to steal, and he learns Hilchus Gzeila, it's Nishkach, it's Mashkach. Must have, I like the Eva Moshe, it's not so nice, but most people have not, most of our people have never thought to actually murder somebody. I'd be very shocked if anybody on this Zoom this evening ever had such a thought to murder somebody, because it's out of the pale of my reality. Torah does that. When I study halachas, if I study Hilchus Shabbos in detail, then Shabbos becomes not just more motivated, it becomes like, I can't be machal, you can't give me machal Shabbos. You know, if I study Hilchus Kriyashma, how could you not say Kriyashma? How could you? Like, so Torah has that, it's the nothing in the world. The Constitution doesn't have that power. Law, man-made laws don't have that power to make it. Man-made laws, it's man-made, and I'm also a mensch, you know. But the Torah has that power. The Torah Misinai, and I like to add, when the Mishnah said, when Rabbeinu HaKodesh, this Mishnah that he taught, Yofet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, when it was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, did he have me in mind? Did he have you in mind? Did he have each and every one of us in mind? Or was it a general thing, and whoever takes advantage? I have no doubt that he had us all in mind, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has everything in mind. That means this is a personal message to me. A personal message that tells me, hey, I told you, I sent you a message 3,500, 3,300 years ago. That's the power of it. Okay, gentlemen, have a good evening. Call to